All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who had quite the impressive victory at BKFC 43, which transpired on May the 19th, and certainly set him up well in the 165-pound ranks after getting that unanimous decision win over Elvin Leon Brito, and happy to be welcoming Carlos Trinidad Snake onto the show for the first time. How's your day going so far, man? I imagine pretty good after a win like that.
Yeah, not too bad, man. Just soaking it all in, having a good time.
Yeah, and improving to 4-0 in BKFC, biggest win yet. I mean, could it have gone any better? Like, was this like the ideal sort of like consummate performance in a certain sense, just as far as maintaining your trajectory and, you know, really leveling up and getting that big, you know, statement win on that like next tier, for lack of a better way to say it, I guess?
Yeah, you know, the point's always the win. You always want some type of exciting finish or, you know, something for the highlights. I'll take the win either way.
Yeah, for sure. And I was seeing a previous article where you were kind of almost like referencing that, like in a sense of looking to like maintain a certain rate of finishing guys, but in a certain sense I feel like it almost articulates like the, I guess, maybe comprehensiveness of your game in a certain sense, just showing you can really sustain that pace over the distance and everything, but also generate those big knockouts. So does a performance like that kind of serve that master in a certain sense?
Yeah, for sure. You know, Elvin's definitely a tough dude to hit. He doesn't stay still. It's definitely not easy to finish everybody in there, but I think this performance definitely shows, you know, I can take the long route or I can take the fast route. Either way, I have wins in both fashions.
And you kind of touched on a bit of a part of the fight there in terms of Brito's evasiveness in general. Like, was there anything he brought to the table that maybe, I guess, existed outside of whatever preconceived notion you had of what he brings to the ring, or did it all kind of align with what you expected almost?
You know, I feel like a lot of people kind of expect him to be slow. I think they look at his age and they think that, you know, he's kind of on the downfall, but I think he's still in the game, you know, 100%. He gives it all in there, and I think he just definitely pushes the pace, you know, and that's probably what I get.
Yeah, for sure. And talking about the, you know, quality of the win in terms of what it is doing for like your career and stuff like that, like I was noticing you're now ranked number 5 at welterweight. I talked to certain fighters about that, where that has, I guess, a certain level of importance, but I've also talked to fighters like Houston Alexander where they're kind of like, oh, I'm just learning that talking to you. Like, how do you feel about all that, I guess?
I don't really care what the rankings say. I think I'm number 1. I just took out the number 1 guy, former champion. So as far as I'm concerned, I am the number 1. I'm the way to the belt. You guys want the number 1 spot, it's through me. So I think I'm next in line for the title for sure, regardless of what the rankings say.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, beating a former welterweight champion would certainly serve you well in that regard and everything like that. And definitely some more welterweight specific things I wouldn't mind touching on, but figured I'd kind of address the fact that this is the 4th straight BKFC fight in Omaha, Nebraska, and everything like that. And I was also noticing, like in previously mentioning Houston Alexander, that this is also the 4th straight event sharing a card with, you know, Houston. So can you, I guess, you know, give some thoughts on that whole dynamic? Like, how has it felt to have really, like, carved that path and have done so in that particular market and everything?
It's awesome, man. When I first came here to Omaha, I was stoked to be on the card the first time. And there's a couple guys who've been on it throughout the 4 shows. But I think me and Houston are the only ones to get wins in all 4 shows. So, and like you said, he's ranked 2. I'm ranked now. I'm happy for him. That's my guy. It's been a fun journey watching everybody win. Just looking forward to keeping going.
Yeah, for sure. And I was seeing, like in a previous interview from like the BKFC, you know, Fight Night Omaha card there, that you were at least indicating you were ready to, you know, head out to London and stuff like that. And certain guys I've talked to, like, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You're fine.
But yeah, just, you know, in mentioning that headline that I saw about, you know, the intrigue to kind of go overseas a bit there. Like, I've talked to certain guys like Dakota Cochran, who definitely enjoys competing in Omaha and has, you know, very much carved out a good path in Nebraska, but he was kind of looking to, I guess, make like a title run, like string a few together in terms of, I guess, being consistent to really get towards that title shot. Is that something you're kind of looking at too? Like, I mean, competing outside Omaha, even just even in the context of wanting to like make that run towards the title now that you're well positioned in that sense?
Yeah, I think I'm already pretty much making my run right now, but
I definitely
like to fight outside of Omaha, just get my name out there, show everybody what I'm about, and get my fan base up, and just see the world, man, you know, and then just do it fighting, you know. Fighting takes me a lot of places, so I'm glad I can do something I love and get something out of it too.
Yeah, for sure. I was seeing that on a Reddit thread there, and it seemed like some people were getting fired up. Like, there was one Reddit comment where they were saying, load his rat tail in a plane and let him whip ass all over the world. So you love to see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, talking about the welterweight hierarchy, and as you said, you're very well positioned in the title conversation now. I was honestly even a little surprised you weren't higher than 5, but in a certain sense, good, you're within that, you know, rankings hierarchy. I'm curious how you might, I guess, see the division kind of playing out, because there's been, I guess, some level of talk. Like, when I spoke to David Feldman, he said that maybe there'd be Luis Palomino maintaining that welterweight position. He's obviously getting ready to defend that lightweight title coming up in a little bit. Like, how do you think that's gonna, I guess, play out, even from your vantage point? Like, do you see Luis being the guy you'll eventually throw down with in that sense? There's obviously guys like Gorjan Slaveski and Jake Lindsey who are kind of well positioned. Like, I guess, how do you see the, I guess, title picture kind of playing out going forward?
I think Luis is kind of just waiting to see what happens with this fight. You know, if he wins, you know, I could see him vacating it, but if he loses, you know, I could see him obviously holding on to it. Right now, I don't feel like he has any reason to let it go, obviously. But, you know, in the event that he did hold on to it, and I think, you know, I could fight someone for an interim belt, whoever it may be. Like I said, I think I'm the number one dude, number one contender right now, so it's whoever they're throwing at me. I'm not worried about anybody else.
That's fair, and I'm inclined to think the same about Luis's position, and as far as, like, I don't really see any need for him to, I guess, vacate the title, as long as you can, you know, stay consistent, and he's very much proven that for sure. But I mean, we're talking about where you're at now as like a top contender and stuff like that. It doesn't really seem all that long ago where there was some talk of you more so being like a prospect in the company, and one of the articles on the BKFC site with the headline talking about how you could transition from prospect to contender at BKFC 33, and certainly underscoring that more with this last fight here and stuff like that. So is it almost surprising in a certain sense just how quick your rise has been? Like, obviously you're a skilled fighter and have all the attributes, but it kind of seems like a whirlwind sort of thing. Like, what are your thoughts on all that, just how you've ascended the welterweight ranks?
You know, I kind of just took it as it is, man. We definitely had other fights lined up and stuff like that. It wasn't always just set in stone that I was going to fight number one dude. So it's kind of, you know, his fighter pulled out in his card in London. Obviously he was looking for a fight. I had a couple fighters back out, so I was looking for a fight. It just made sense. I was on the come up, you know, and I think, I don't know, maybe he thought I was going to be an easy win or something, keep him at the top, but I think I might have surprised him, might surprise everybody else, took the number one.
Yeah, for sure, and I'm kind of curious, like, what your, I guess, you know, training methodology is for bare knuckle and everything like that, because some guys will, I guess, use certain techniques, like working with like the wooden Muay Thai boards, or kind of doing certain conditioning work on harder surfaces like punching sand, gripping rice, etc. Like, do you have any specific tricks of the trade you use for bare knuckle competition?
No, I think that's corny, man. I just take the straight stand up, just get my hands right, you know, and it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter what you do at the end of the day. I mean, you're going to punch a hard surface, your hand's going to crack, it's going to crack. I think it's all about punching it the right way with, you know, proper technique, landing your punches, and not breaking your wrists.
Yeah, I guess I was just curious because you've got like a pretty deep like amateur MMA resume and obviously have professional experience in that sport. And yeah, just wondered if maybe you did something different. But are there, I mean, obviously much more boxing centric and everything, and you don't have to worry about grinding like grappling rounds or taking brutal leg kicks, etc. But like, what are some, I guess, unique differences you found within bare knuckle competition as compared to what you were doing in MMA, sort of outside of what I outlined, I guess?
Definitely like to utilize that clinch a little bit more. Work on that. Just work on a little bit more of a faster pace, heavier punches. You know, the rounds aren't really too long in bare knuckle. So I feel like you can exert a little bit more energy and get away with it. Just work on trying to stay in the pocket, you know, and just try to make sure I cover all fields. Anything and everything that helped me in the fight.
And it strikes me as like a pretty unique sport to prepare for in a lot of regards. Like, who would you credit as some of the people that really help you hone your tools as you're ready for these bare knuckle fights, both in terms of training partners and coaches and whatnot?
I work with Ryan Braun, Jeff Soder, Sean Wilson, TJ Benson, a lot of the Omaha guys on the card. I work with Houston Alexander. Just to, you know, all those guys, because they know what the fight is. You know, obviously they've had multiple bare knuckle fights, so they understand what it's like in there. And but my coach as well, you know, he's definitely switched up the training methods to like help more, work more like inside the pocket, inside clinch work, staying heavy on the opponent, and just throwing better slips, counters, and punches.
And I find this part of it interesting because I find, having talked to certain bare knuckle fighters, that like in the sparring preparations more so, like some will do more, I guess, normative like boxing training, like use like the higher ounce gloves, whereas like some people like Reggie Barnett specifically will do more sparring in like the 4 ounce MMA gloves. Like, how do you curate your sparring for bare knuckle?
I like to do more with the 4 ounce because, like I said, I like to get that clinch work in there, use the hand control. Because in bare knuckle, you can control the bicep, like I said, you can get the over, under, get the side clinch, you do a lot of stuff. So I feel like it's important to work with open hands rather than just using all boxing gloves.
Yeah, I feel like probably in like a range kind of sense too, it would replicate that as well. Like, it's probably the closest range that you'd be getting to bare knuckle compared to other gloves, so maybe serves that master as well.
For sure. I mean, you know, the boxing gloves are big and bulky, you know. A bare fist is definitely going to slip right through somebody's guard, depending how you throw it. And, like, a boxing glove is just going to hit surface all day, you know. So, it's definitely different, you know. Oh. So, like I said, everybody's different. I think there's no real right or wrong way to train. I think everybody trains a different way. It's like you said, it's a brand new sport, so people still mastering how to train for it. But like I said, I think just basic stand up, working your angles, technique, with the 4 ounces, working your clinch work, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I appreciate you giving me some time. I guess one of the last couple questions I have, because when I talk to fighters, I'm sort of curious about like the backstory and meaning of the nickname. And you seem to have a unique one. And hopefully I don't botch the pronunciation, but Uzumaki is what was listed on the BKFC site. Can you give me the, you know, backstory on that? Like, who gave it to you and the meaning, etc.?
No, man, that's just like it's from Naruto, some anime. Just a big anime fan, man. But it's just winds me up, man. You know, I've been saying that since I fought amateur MMA, and it sounds corny, but dude, I've never lost since I said that. So I like I said, I'm on a good winning streak right now, but but for bare knuckle, I like to just do Cross Trinidad Snake. I like to get both names out there, Trinidad and Snake. It's more, I like to honor my grandmother and spread her name out there. And so that's why I like, in bare knuckle, I want Carlos Trinidad Snake.
Yeah, I mean, you almost don't even need a nickname in a certain sense. Like, it's cool that you have that bit of a connection with it, but awesome you're honoring the family and everything, but also just reads as one of the, you know, cooler names in combat sports. I'm not just saying that because I have you on the show. Like, I think when I first saw your name pop up on the graphic, I was like, let's go. I got to get this guy on the show at some point.
That's awesome. Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, great to follow along with what you've been doing and very excited for the next step whenever that might be, but very much want to, you know, give you your due and let you enjoy this victory over a former champion. Definitely a landmark victory in your run so far. But, you know, that being said, want to be mindful of your schedule and what you're getting up to the rest of the day, man. So is there maybe any final parting thought you'd want to add as we're wrapping up, Carlos?
Nothing too much, man. I just, like, appreciate you. Thank you for having me on the show. I like all the exposure, man. And anybody else listening to this in the top five, I'm number one. Don't get it twisted. So, and that's it.
Yeah, well, I mean, based on your trajectory and everything like that, I feel like a lot more attention is going to incrementally come fight to fight, and definitely a quality win over Elvin Leon Brito at BKFC 43. So thanks so much for the time and coming on, man. Hopefully have you on before the next one. But until then, you enjoy the rest of your day there, Carlos.
Yes, sir. You too. Have a good one.